It's been a blessing to have Stephen with us and his wife, and we thank you for coming over and turn it over to you now.
Oh, well, it is a privilege to be here once again, and I see someone filled my cup of water up, so I really appreciate that. I felt like a windmill running on water this morning. But it's a blessing to be able to share the Word of God. And if you would, I would like you to take your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10 here in just a minute. Don't worry, whenever you get to it, you're going to see a bunch of genealogies. I'm not going to bore you with all the genealogies, okay? If you're anything like me, when you get to those parts of the Bible that have all the genealogies, then you read so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you want to give up with your Bible reading. But the truth of the matter is that God has each and every one of those names in there for a reason. And I often think, as I'm reading those kind of things, I think, well, God remembered that individual. God remembered that individual. He obviously must have thought something was significant about that individual. And I'm important to God. And God cares about each and every one. And so maybe next time you're reading through the genealogies, that can kind of give you a little bit of a reset. And you can think about it in that term. But one of the things I find very interesting about the passage we're about to look at here is you go into the book of 1 Chronicles and all of the other chapters and really pretty much deal with different genealogies. And you get to chapter 4 and he continues on with the genealogies. And he says in verse 7, and the sons of Helah were Zerah and Jezor and Ethnan, and Cos begat Anab and Zobiah, the families of Azrael, the sons of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And then it goes right back into the genealogies. But those two phrases, or two verses right there, rather, are quite significant because it allows us to peek into the life of Jabez for just that brief period. So the title of the message this evening is just very simple, The Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. And let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us in this text. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've given, for the privilege of being able to share the Word of God. Lord, I realize once again as I stand here, I am not capable of doing this. I need your power and your strength. I need you to speak through me, Heavenly Father. I pray that all of self would be removed out of the way and that you would be lifted high. We just want to make a big deal about you tonight. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this building that perhaps they're not saved, that tonight they would be able to call upon you and be saved. And Lord, if there's somebody here that they've been walking distant from you, I pray that whatever it would take in the life of that individual, that you would do it for your honor and glory. And I pray that we would find some help in this passage tonight and that we would be able to go on for you. For those of us that have been staying faithful, Lord, we pray this in your precious name, thanking you so much for what you're able to do and claiming our position above Satan because you have already won the victory. In your precious name, amen. I love this passage because it says about Jabez, it says he was more honorable than his brethren. In other words, he stood head and shoulders above the rest. It's almost like the Word of God says, hey, wait a minute, we got to pause and we got to talk about this man by the name of Jabez. I got to tell you something about him. And he goes on to tell him what it was about him. It says, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, in the Old Testament days, and even some into the New Testament, the names of people were incredibly significant. In the Bible days, a lot of times people would name their child, and that meant something about the particular destiny of that individual, or something that that individual would go on to do later in life. And all of this was going on in the background, and I can just imagine, and I want you to stop and imagine with me for a minute, what it would be like to have the name Jabez, all right? Because the name Jabez means I bear him with sorrow. In other words, this young boy was going to have that stamp on his life as long as he lived. When people heard his name, they would know it meant bear him with sorrow. Now, the Bible does not tell us what type of sorrow it was that he bore, or what type of sorrow it was that was surrounding his birth. Perhaps his mother was very, very sick, and she passed away whenever she gave birth to him. Or perhaps he had some sort of physical condition. Or perhaps there was a lot of family turmoil. We don't know what it was that happened. All we know is from this little phrase that there was such significant sorrow surrounding the birth of this man that the mother decided to name him once and for all Jabez. And I just imagine this boy going to school and all the jokes that he got. What was your mother thinking? Why in the world did she call you Jabez? Ah, you little troublemaker, you're nothing but sorrow. And they would laugh and joke and tease him. Well, Jabez didn't like that very much. He didn't like the title that was attached to that, and he didn't want to be known as somebody that was filled with sorrow. So what did he do? In verse 10 it says, Jabez called on the God of Israel. We need to call on God tonight. We need to call on God. Friends, do any of you have any problems in life? There's a little bit of chuckling going on because the truth of the matter is we all have problems. I have problems sometimes. You have problems sometimes. But how are you going to handle those problems? You know, my wife and I are getting ready to have our first child here in February. And you know what? I came to her and I said, we should name our first child Jabez. And she's like, uh-uh. I don't think so. And I was just joking. Okay. I don't want my child named that either. You know what? We do not like trouble in our life. We do not like remembering trouble. We do not like it whenever things aren't going right. Well, that's how Jabez was. Everything seemed awry in his life, and he chose to call on the God of Israel. Who do you call on when you got trouble? Do you call your friend up? Hey, Betsy May, I got some problems here. Can you come help me out? Yeah, she might hang up on you. I can't help you. You know, we have a tendency of doing that. We tend to call on our human resources before we will call on the divine resource. His name is Jesus Christ. And may I submit to you this evening that perhaps the reason that God allows trouble and trials and tribulations to come into our life is so that we can draw closer to Him and not to grow distant from Him. And trials will either make you better or they will make you bitter. The choice is yours. And Jabez, he did not like what was going on in his life. And he says, Lord. And I want you to see the things that he says, because the things that he says are incredibly significant. And I believe they are applicable to every last one of us in this room this evening. No matter who we are. No matter what the set of circumstances are that we may be going through. And may I just pause and say right here that The devil fights us on this element of prayer. The devil does not want us to pray. The devil knows that there is power in prayer. And the devil knows that if he can keep us from praying, he can keep us from power. And all of a sudden, we're stuck in this vicious cycle. And when prayer meeting rolls around, nobody wants to show up. Oh, we got so many other things that we got to do, so many other places we got to go. Oh, I can't possibly come to Wednesday night prayer meeting because I got so many things on my plate. Oh, I can't possibly show up just a few minutes early to church so that I can pray and ask God's blessing on the evening. And my friends, I'm not saying any of that in hatred, and I'm not saying that because I'm mad at anybody, but I'm just saying that the devil tries to manipulate us and get us to think in terms like that. And we miss out on what Jabez got. Because Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel, and it tells us at the very end, God granted him that which he requested. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it's going to accomplish something. I want all of you young people to listen up carefully to me because not because I'm anybody special, but because you need to learn early in your life what it means to get a hold of God. You need to learn early in your life what it means to be able to spend some quality time with Him, and that will carry you through these years of your life. And maybe you're perhaps here middle-aged, and or maybe you're here in your sunset years. You know what? We never run out of a time in our life whenever we can have power with God and when we can pray. Even if we're bedridden, we can still pray. Even if we can't do anything else, we can still have the ministry of prayer. And I believe that Jabez, right here, he gives us a prime example of how we could pray, how we should pray. But Jabez called on the God of Israel. He didn't call on somebody else. He called on the true and the living God. And here's what he said. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." Have you ever noticed that there seem to be certain people in life that it seems like they go really far, they accomplish a lot of good things happen, and then there's the people over here that it seems like hardly anything happens in their life? Have you ever noticed that? May I just offer a suggestion? Could it be related to the prayer life of that individual? I think it could be. But let's go a step further than that. Could it be about how that individual prays? He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." Now, on the surface, that might seem like a very selfish prayer. "Lord, I want you to bless me." We need to ask ourselves, first of all, what is blessing? Blessing is God's divine favor. We've kind of lost the significance of blessing because somebody sneezes and they say, "God bless you." Or, something like that. Well, it's God's divine favor. You know what? Esau and Jacob, that's a prime example right there. Esau had the birthright, and he knew, and Jacob knew that it was supposed to be his. But if you remember that story, there Esau was out in the field, and he was hunting, and his brother Jacob was there making the mess of pottage. And Esau comes back, and he says, "I'm famished." He says, I need some food. The way to a man's heart is through his belly, I'm telling you. It works. So there he was, and next thing you know, here's Esau, and he's saying, "I've got to have some of that." And Jacob says, "I got you now." He says, "Give me the birthright." And he says, "I'll give you a mess of pottage." And the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. In other words, he thought little of it. And he gave it up. And we all know the story of what happened there, how that Jacob received the blessing instead of Esau. That Esau was the oldest. He should have had the blessing. But Jacob got it. And do you know what happened? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that once Esau realized what he gave up, the Bible says he went back and he sought carefully with tears and with repentance, but it could not be obtained. He sought the blessings of the birthright, but he couldn't have it back. Blessing in the Old Testament was something that people must have. It was a term for people that were desperate, and they said, "I got to have it." And Abraham was blessed by God because Abraham obeyed and he offered up his only son Isaac. And the Bible says, "And blessing I will bless thee." And the Bible says that God would bless those that blessed Abraham and God would curse those that cursed Abraham. Did you know that's true even today? Much of the blessing that we have seen in America has come about as a result of leaders who have been willing to stand up and stand for Israel. But when we have had leaders in places of authority that they said, I could care less about the nation of Israel, I want to see it wiped off the face of the map, we see all kind of things coming apart at the seams in our nation because they are despising the nation of Israel. Blessing is something that we must have. And here, Jabez, he calls upon the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Guess what? Whenever you ask for God to bless you, you can then in turn bless other people. Has God ever given you something good from your devotional reading? And you say, man, I got to share this with somebody else. And you share a little bit, a tidbit of truth, and it's a blessing to that individual. And they say, man, that's a blessing to me. And then they go to somebody else and they say, so-and-so told me about what they were reading in their Bible, and this is how it blessed me. Let me tell you about it too. And then now it blesses somebody else. And it goes on down the line. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. But I like the next word. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He says, Lord, while you're at it, don't just bless me a little bit. Bless me a whole lot. Give me a bunch of blessings. You know what? The Bible tells us in the book of James that we have not because we ask not. And we ask and we have not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lusts. Maybe there's somebody in here, this is just a hypothetical, but maybe there's somebody in here that they say, I'm praying for a Lamborghini. You know, I got to have a Lamborghini. God, give it to me. And you keep looking out in the parking lot during church hoping that your car will turn into a Lamborghini. It doesn't work that way, my friend. We have not because we ask not. Well, I'm not saying about the Lamborghini, okay? I'm not saying if you ask God for a Lamborghini, you're going to get it. But I'm saying sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes we just want to look good in front of everybody else. We want to rev the engine up in front of everybody else's house and say, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm driving. Look at the Hot Wheels I got. You want to show off to everybody. Guess what? The things of God are not about showing off to everybody else. The blessings that God gives to you is not about showing off to everybody else and say, hey, look at how much I got. No, it's about God being glorified. It's about what God can do. And he says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me a whole lot. And I'm going to just kind of now go to the next phrase, and we'll keep this thought in mind, but we'll also develop the next thought, okay? And he says this, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And then he goes on to say, and enlarge my coast. In other words, what he's saying here is he's saying, God, give me more opportunity. Lord, give me more influence. And we do not know exactly what it was that Jabez was praying for here, whether he was praying for more land to farm his animals, or whether he was praying for more influence in his family, or whether he was praying for something in his own life. I don't know what it was. All we know from the Word of God is that he was praying for more territory. He was praying for enlarged coasts. Now, let me just share with you how I kind of interpret all this. You know, we need to make sure in our prayer that we are praying very specifically. And that's what I mean when I'm saying we need to think of it in terms of the blessings. You know, sometimes we just pray generally, Lord, bless me, okay? Or Lord, bless the missionaries, okay? If you're praying that way, how are you going to know when God is blessing the missionaries? How are you going to know when God is blessing you? You need to have something specific. We get something in our churches called prayer letters. Anybody ever heard of that? Ever taken some time to stop and read about the needs of the missionaries? They got some very specific things that they're asking God for. Maybe they got to have a vehicle for this or that. Or maybe if you're in Haiti and you don't have power all the time, you need a generator so you can have electricity to run your ministry. These are specific needs that the missionaries have. If we would take the time to stop and read their prayer letters, we'd pick up on those kind of things. And we can say, Lord, bless the missionaries with a generator. Lord, bless the missionaries with a car. And you know what? Next thing you know, God may give that person a generator, or God may lay it on your heart to give that person money so that they can get a generator. If we pray specifically, then we are going to know when God answers. We're going to know when God answers. Because we're going to have a specific thing in mind. But he's saying, Lord, enlarge my coast. You know what? Some people are content just doing the things that they're doing. They're content to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe even Wednesday night. They're content to maybe go soul winning once in a great while. They're content maybe to have a shallow time with God in the morning. They're content with all that. But Jabez, he wasn't content. He says, Lord, enlarge my coast. So what does that mean for Faith Bible Church? Maybe that means praying that God will increase your Sunday school class and give you one more person to work with. Maybe that means praying specifically that you'll have an opportunity to talk with somebody about their soul. Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. And when you start praying specifically for God to bring things your way, you know what you're going to discover? It's going to start coming. Ye have not because ye ask not. Sometimes we know what's in God's will. We know it's in God's will for God to save individuals. We know it's in God's will for us to be an instrument. But do we stop to pray about letting God use us to win somebody else to Jesus? You know, sometimes I get a little thirsty. I get a little thirsty to win somebody to Jesus. And I say, hey, it's been a while. It's been a while. Lord, I need somebody else. And next thing I know, he sends somebody my way. I can share the gospel with that individual. Don't be content with, hey, I'm just doing this little ministry over here or this little ministry over here. You know, God wants us to be expanding. God wants to give us more territory. God wants to give us more responsibility. Do more for him, not less. Sometimes we tell God, we say, God, I've had about all I can handle. I'm not sure I can do one more thing. And God says, here, wait a minute, I want you to have this too. And you say, no, not that. And I could give you some examples in my life where stuff like that has happened. And I've said to God at times, I said, God, I'm not sure I can handle this too, in addition to what I'm already doing. And God says, nope, I want you to have this too. And we ought to be praying specifically that God will give us more things to do, more things to do. Why? Because in the process of all of that, we are going to discover that we need God. And that brings to the next phase of the prayer that he prays here. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Jabez says, wait a minute, God, oops, I don't think I can handle all this, but I know you can. And sometimes, let me say this as kindly as I know how, but we're afraid to step out on a limb. We're afraid to do more because we say, I can't possibly handle that. I can't possibly do more. I can't possibly take on a Sunday school class and sing in the choir, or I can't take on this responsibility in the church and this. No, maybe God wants you to do both. Or maybe God wants you to do more than one thing. No, there's always a need for more workers in God's army. I can promise you, when Pastor Madrid comes back tonight, if you come to him, say, Wednesday, and you tell Pastor, you say, Pastor, I'd really like to help out in the church somewhere. I'd really like to do something. I can promise you he's not going to tell you no. In fact, the poor guy may just drop over of a heart attack. Because he's not used to people asking that question. He might be used to people backing up and saying, uh-uh, I don't want to get involved in that. You know why? Because people have a tendency of saying, okay, I've got my little sphere over here and my little sphere over here and my little sphere over here, and we never merge. We never do more. And that's why we don't go forward. That's why we don't see God do good, bigger and greater things in the church. That's why we don't see God do bigger and greater things in our life, is because we say, God, no, I've had enough. But God wants us to step out on a limb. God wants to get us to the point where we say, oh, I can't handle this anymore. The story is told of a little boy that he was at the park, and his dad was there at the park with him, and there were three sliding boards. There was a little tiny sliding board, a medium size, and there was a giant sliding board. And this boy was, I don't know, maybe five, something like that. And he goes to the park and with his dad and his mom. And dad and mom are sitting back there and they're watching. And he runs lickety-split for that small sliding board. He climbs up it. He looks back at mom and dad with this proud old grin on his face. And he goes sliding down. He said, whoa, that was fun. So he runs over to the next sliding board over here, to the medium-sized sliding board. And then he kind of climbs up a few steps and looks back at mom and dad. And his wife is getting a little bit nervous and said, honey, don't you think you better go help our son? No, he'll be fine. And so he climbs up a few more steps and he goes sliding down. Whoa, that was fun. And then he's like, oh, I've got to come over here to the big one. I've got to come over here where there's this giant slide. And he climbs up a couple steps and he looks back up at mom and dad with this look on his face of almost terror as he's looking up at the top of that slide and saying, I'm not so sure about this one. And about this time, the wife is getting really nervous, and she says, honey, don't you think you better let him go? You better go help him? And he's like, no, I'm not going to let him go up by himself, but let's just wait a couple more minutes and see what he does. And so the boy climbs up maybe one or two more steps, and he looks back at dad, and by this point, there's a teenage boy that's climbing up the slide, up the steps behind him. And he's getting a little impatient. But that boy, he looks back at dad and says, hey, dad! Hey, dad! So the dad comes running over and he's like, what, son? And he looks up in the boy's face and he says, I need you. I need you. And the dad's not about to let this opportunity go, but he looks back at his son. He's like, why? Why do you need me? And the boy says, because I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. And so the dad pulls the boy down off of there and lets the teenage boy go on up. And then dad and the son climb happily up there and they both slide down together. That's a picture of how we need God. Maybe you're on the big boy sliding board tonight. Maybe you got a lot of things that are going on in your life and you say, I can't possibly handle one more thing. And then God comes to you and says, here, I want you to take this Sunday school class. Or here, I want you to go and witness to this person. Here, I want you to go help with this. Here, I want you to do this. Maybe it's in the home. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it is out in the community. I don't know where it may be. But I can promise you this. God always wants to give us more to do. More opportunity. More influence for him. Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. And then after a little bit, you're going to say, uh-oh, I can't do this. God, I need you. I need your hand to be with me. And God's sitting back there and he's saying, it's about time. It's about time that you recognize that. It's about time that you realize you can't get through this on your own. And sometimes that's why God brings trials and troubles into our life. He doesn't bring bad things into our life because he hates us. He allows bad things to occur sometimes just so that we can see how much we really do need him. And sometimes he allows good things even into our life to see how much we really need him. Because you have a good opportunity that's in front of you and you say, there's no way I can do that. When I was a 10-year-old boy, I got saved and I knew God was calling me to preach. I told God no for 5 years. I said, God, you can call anybody but me. I said, I'm way too bashful. Don't like standing in front of people. And God, you can just call somebody else except me. And I bargained with God for about 5 years, but I was absolutely miserable. And then there was finally came a point in my life where I said, God, I'll do it, but I need you. I'll do it, but I need you. And then all of a sudden, peace and joy came back into my life. And I've been doing that now since 2005. And you know what? I've been loving it. I love it. I don't want to do anything else. That's what we need to pray. Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast, give me more opportunity, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So we're asking God to be with us. We're saying, God, I can't do this alone. And God says, yes, I realize that. I've been waiting for you to say that. And then all of a sudden, God opens up the floodgates and you do things you never thought were possible. You have more opportunity to influence the community around you. You have more opportunity to influence your children. Or you have more opportunity to influence in your church family. And then you realize something else. Okay, God is beginning to use me, but the devil wants to use me too. The devil wants me to get a big head. The devil wants me to start depending on self again. The devil wants to take some little vice in my life, some little thing that I struggle with, and he wants to magnify that, and he wants to get in, and he wants to cause trouble. I can promise you something tonight, that evil will grieve you. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it's only a season. There's going to come a time when it's not fun to do wrong anymore. There's going to come a time when it's not going to be fun to run from God anymore. There's going to come a time whenever evil will begin to have its way in your life and you will be a miserable mess. So that's the next phrase. It's a preventative prayer. It's saying, Lord, I want you to keep me from evil. Lord, don't allow any sin to control my life. Make me aware of what's going on in my life, and may I ever be dependent upon you. That's where God wants us to be. And at no point are we more dependent upon God than when we pray. And at no point are we less dependent upon God than when we say, I don't need that prayer stuff. I don't need to show up to the corporate prayer meetings, or I don't need to have my personal prayer time because I can handle this. And then all of a sudden, evil will begin to get into your life and stir up and grieve you. We need to be like Jabez. Cry out desperately to God and say, God, oh, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And I love the last phrase. And God granted him that which he requested. God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, be afflicted and mourn. God makes the promise there. He says, if you will draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. You ever heard of the broken eye? The broken eye is basically self being broken in two. Your will being broken in two. And saying, it's not my will any longer, God, but it's yours. You can have me. And if I was going to encapsulate all of the prayer of Jabez into one little phrase, perhaps that would be the best way I would know of to do it. Jabez was saying, I've got some circumstances in my life, I've got some things in my life that I don't know what to do with. But all I know is I want you to use me, and Lord, I need to get out of the way and let you do it. The biggest problem I have is me. That's the biggest problem I have. My stubborn old self gets in the way. And if we're all honest with ourselves this evening, I would say we all would have to admit that at times that's the way we are too. But I can promise you something. If you will come to God, realize that you need Him, be dependent on Him, ask God to use you more, ask God to do more with you, for His glory, He will do it. The way that I'm going to end this message is maybe just a little bit unusual from other times, but there's this song called On Bended Knee. I don't know if you ever heard it or not, but the words of this song are tremendous, and I'd like to just take the time to sing it for you because it encapsulates everything that we've been talking about this evening. And I trust that the Lord would use it to stir in our hearts to be a more prayerful people and a people that would realize our need for God. Lord, I